welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. This evening, I thought it would be interesting, especially since last month we had, at the end of the month, Halloween. A lot of people have asked me about ghosts and spirits and phenomena that is related to that, and I thought it would be interesting to go over that information tonight, because I think this is a subject that is on people's minds all year round, but maybe this time of year, maybe a little bit more. And if you would like to call in with any of your own experiences or thoughts, certainly you can do so. And if you have any comments, always please call. And if you're in the U.S., you can reach us at 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-815-9756. So let me tell you some of my thoughts. I'm going to give you my own explanations. Now, some of you may not agree with this. That's okay. That's fine. I don't expect everybody in the world to agree with my ideas. But after all, I am on the air right now telling you about them, so it's worthwhile for me at least to say, try to explain them as best as I can. And it, when it comes to ghosts, most people that I meet believe that there is something, some reality, some truth to the idea that ghosts exist and that other types of phenomena related to ghosts, such as poltergeists, also exist. And in my experience, now this is my experience, they definitely exist. And in understanding how and why, which I'm going to explain in the next 10 minutes or so, I think that it will make sense to maybe the rest of you. Maybe. First of all, let me define what I mean by a ghost. A ghost is some part of a living thing, most of the time a human being, but it could be a ghost of an animal as well, that exists in part within our dimension where we live here. This is the physical dimension, but in a part of the dimension that I refer to as the etheric, some people refer to it as the electromagnetic part of our dimension. However, it's important to distinguish this, because electromagnetic energies that are recognized by science are energies like radio, television, X-rays, gamma rays, which are extremely powerful, and all kinds, beta, alpha waves, all kinds, actually particles that produce a wave effect, all kinds of, we'll call it electromagnetic radiation that is surrounding us, and also even infrared and ultraviolet, etc. So these kinds of energies are not easily discernible by most people's senses. And because of that, it is possible for someone or something to be alive in just the etheric part or the electromagnetic part of our dimension and not be recognizable. Now, there's another part to this, and that is that living things are at a different phase, not a different frequency. Frequency is something like cycles per second. Phase is the direction that the cycles are going in, and that's a real different understanding. And the phase relationship of living things is considerably different from non-living things. So radio waves and television waves are recognized by science, but living things, because they exist at a different phase, cannot be easily picked up by the instruments that are usually created to measure electromagnetic radiation and energies that exist under what science would call normal circumstances. So this is the problem. Because if your equipment is tuned or designed to be able to detect electromagnetic energies that are not alive, and if ghosts and other kinds of phenomena that exist in a metaphysical sense are alive, then you don't actually end up being able to detect them. And since this show is about metaphysics and spirituality, of course I'm going to tell you all about the things that we are not able to normally detect. Now, I do want you to know something that I have in my head, although I haven't exactly invented it in physical form, some kinds of inventions that actually could, I mean, seriously, I think there's a good chance if someone really put their mind to it, and I kind of put mine to it, but then went ahead and did it, create an invention, a device that would detect living electromagnetic energies that are at a different phase. And you would have to have a phase compensator. You would have to be able to change at certain cycles per second, or whatever frequency we're talking about. You'd have to have a phase compensator to be able to determine things like ghosts. Now, have others suggested something, I guess, on occasion? Yes, I've actually read a few people, but not exactly the way I'm saying it, but they've come close. And I think that within about 10 or 20 years, one of my predictions. Maybe it won't come true, okay. But I think within about 10 or 20 years, there's a chance, not a bad one, that someone will, create a detection device for electromagnetic energies, but at way different phases than we do today. This would you'd have to have a concerted effort and know what you're doing to make such a thing, because there's like these tremendous variations in phase. Even a fraction of a degree of phase change can leave you completely blind to what may be right in front of you. That's the problem with phase, is that cycles, sometimes there's an overlap. But phase, as soon as you get a fraction of a phase's difference, it just disappears. And so that's the problem. You got to be right on the money, or you don't get what you're looking for. All right. So what does this mean? Well, okay, I told you how, so to speak, there could be something out there that we don't normally sense, and we don't even have equipment to figure out where it is and what it's doing. Now, I'm going to tell you more about what I've learned from experience. Now, this is from experience, because I've had many out-of-body experiences. Some of them have been into the etheric realm, or the electromagnetic part of myself while my dense physical body was at rest and not fully conscious. But I was fully conscious in my electromagnetic self, and I floated around and gone places and even gone through some material objects, and actually had amazing experiences just in the etheric part of our world. And I'll tell you something else. About half of the public has had similar experiences based upon polls that I've taken, but also that others have done. So it is possible, it is likely even, that many of you who are listening to me right now have had some type of out-of-body experience, and likely those out-of-body experiences took place in this electromagnetic or etheric part of our world. How do you know? Well, if you still can see this world, and you can clearly see what's going on, so to speak, then you are still here in the electromagnetic part. If you see something that's completely different, you're in a different dimension than here, and that's a really more involved and a kind of a more difficult out-of-body experience actually to have, where you go to another dimension of time and space entirely. It is possible to do that as well. Okay, when do people have commonality to out-of-body experience? Usually at the moment of death or near death. And the reason for it is the following. Since there is an electromagnetic constituent, and it's actually the cause, it's like what really makes us who we are, the form that is dense or material is really a result of this electromagnetic part creating us in the first place. This is true of all things that are around us, whether they're living or otherwise. And so, when we start to die, our consciousness shifts from the dense physical part of us and focusing in on that aspect of ourselves to, we'll say, the more etheric part, the part that is not so dense. And the reason for this is that in the death process, the very first thing that really loses contact with our soul is the more dense parts, because it takes so much more thought from our soul and the spiritual part of ourselves to stay connected and to keep that part alive, that the physical part kind of separates away, and we're running around in our etheric form or body, and we can usually see what's going on around us. Within an hour or so, most people can reasonably hear. Some people are better at this than others. Children, young children, not having necessarily a death experience, sometimes can hear almost immediately in an out-of-body experience. And many, many children, by the way, have out-of-body experiences before the age of 7, but they soon forget them. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying, so the amazing part about this is that we could immediately see, but we wouldn't be able to really touch, because you can touch other electromagnetic energy, but it's we lose the ability to touch material things, because our actually, if you tried to, your hand would literally go right through what you're most likely trying to touch, in most cases. Isn't that fascinating? It is. And so, what I'm telling you is that if you're having a death or a near-death experience, you become what I am going to define as the beginning of a ghost. But some people define ghosts as a little differently, and maybe even I do. But at least you're beginning at that point to become something other than just a normal person, because you're running around the world in electromagnetic energy, functioning in electromagnetic space that's slightly at a different phase to energies around you. And the interesting thing is that you, or we, all of us, are going to eventually experience this. This is not, I mean, this is like, if you don't believe me, wait. Because someday, you know, if I'm right, we're all going to experience this, right? We're all going to eventually die. And during the death process, everybody leaves their physical body, and even if it's only for a second or two, is in this etheric state. Now, a lot of people don't want to go on to another dimension of time and space immediately, and their desire is to actually stay put right where they are or close to it. And so for that reason, and that reason actually alone, they stay in this world. But they can't communicate very easily with those around them, other than other people who might be dead or dying. And they find themselves obviously isolated from what was a normal experience of daily interactions. They can observe. Obviously, observation is a major part of this experience. And also getting over, we'll call it the fear of death, because, you know, if you're dying, you're dying, you're dying, and then all of a sudden you're not in your physical body, but you're floating around, and by the way, you can float, at the top of the room in a corner somewhere, and you're looking at everything that's going on, then you know you're not dead, right? At least to your experience, you're not dead. I mean, other people might think, well, poor person, they're dead. But you would know, I would know, that you're not dead. And of course, from that vantage point, from that perspective, a person's fear of death diminishes rapidly. Another thing that's kind of interesting is by being disconnected from the physical body, all of the pain associated with the physical part of us is gone. And most people have some discomfort or suffering and pain during a death experience. So the good news is that the faster you get into this state, the quicker you get away from the discomfort and the pain, and in many ways, that's a nice experience. Well, you suddenly you say, "Well, I'm not dead, and I feel better. This is great." And also, the ability for mobility improves. A person can actually fly because the weight of electromagnetic energy is so slight that the thought of a person can mitigate the effects of gravity on the very, very slight energy that a person exists in terms of density and weight. And so there's virtually no inertia, and it's easy to move around. You can go through most walls, by the way, although few people do it immediately because it's a little disconcerting to think about. But getting around, it can be fairly easy, and literally flying through the air at over 100 miles an hour is of no consequence whatsoever. So people could be, go on a trip, hey, you can save a lot in airfare. But, all kinds of things like that are possible. And the incredible part about this is that you could do it just based upon thought alone. And literally the body moves wherever you would like it to. Now, there is one little glitch that I'll tell you about, and then we'll go to break. And that is that you can't get very close to the physical body once you actually are dead. Or you might say, well, why not? It's my body. Why can't I just even? Well, because the body is under the thought of something entirely different, which is a soul for the constituents of the parts, so to speak, and no longer under your or our control as from our soul. And so the interesting thing about this is that the one thing you can't get close to is the body that you came from if you're really dead, because that body is actually now antithetical in terms of joining with the energy in the electromagnetic energy because it's at a different phase. And literally the different phase causes a force to be pushed against. So when the person thinks like, gee, I'd like to get next to my physical body even though they maybe say goodbye to it or whatever, the more they try to think to get closer, they actually end up being pushed further away from it. Isn't that interesting? That causes all kinds of issues that we're going to get into about ghosts when we come back from break, which is going to be in about 2.5 or so minutes.
Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPel, that's ViruPel.org.
Well, we're back, and this is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Today we're talking about Well, we're always talking about metaphysics and spiritual subjects, but today specifically we're talking about ghosts and other phenomena. And at the break, I was telling you, letting you know that ghosts have some unusual features to them that kind of develops from this issue. Oh, I think we have a caller online, and his name is Michael, if I'm correct. Are you there, Michael?
Yes.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, Niles. How are you?
Great, great. Thanks for giving us a call. What would you like to say?
I just wanted to ask you a question about the electromagnetic spectrum.
Sure.
To just take it back just a tiny bit, but I went a couple of years ago, something that stuck out in my mind is I went to a lightworkers conference, and I ran into a person who was in his mid-20s, and immediately he created a stir, and what he did exactly, in a very unselfish way, but he just said, you are going through this next person, you are going through a divorce, you have a job change. What exactly was going on? He could read anybody's thoughts.
Well, I think
he was saying it out loud.
Yeah, I would say that he had some level of extrasensory perception, and most likely he has at least what is called lower psychic sense. He's able to use one or more of his senses in ways that extend beyond what would be normally constructed to be our senses. But the interesting thing is we all have a part of this sense. He may have been using some elements of his quote-unquote electromagnetic or etheric sense in one of his one of the senses in his physical body. He may have also been using a sense in another body, dimensionally speaking, as well. And he was picking up information that normally we are somewhat vague or don't have no knowledge of whatsoever, because electromagnetic sense goes much further, can travel much further than when it's converted down in frequency to the physical body. So some of us, Michael, can literally, I can't do this, but some of us can literally see or even sometimes hear for much greater distances using electromagnetic energies than they can using the physical energies of air moving across an eardrum and producing with the bones inside the ear sound and against the nerves, or sight going through the eyes. I mean, there is parts of wavelengths of light that people can pick up on, and that gives them information. And then if you go to another dimension in time and space, he may have been picking up stuff from the astral body of people, or even from what their thoughts were. Literally, it is possible he was actually picking up some of their actual mental thinking thoughts.
It got to the point where, because of course it was a light worker conference, but he was actually saying, within the context of being at the conference, he was like, are you thinking about your past life in Atlantis? And actually, certain people were thinking that, and it kind of threw people off.
I think that's great. I think, certainly you've seen some of the psychics who function, in the public eye, so to speak, and some of them have amazing abilities. And so this is, to me, I think he was just demonstrating that he had at least some of these psychic abilities. Now, I call them lower psychic. There also is a higher psychic ability, but that really comes from becoming a great part of even the next kingdom, a member of the next kingdom, where you're not even human anymore. You've unified your senses to the point that you're beyond the capabilities of any human being to actually do. But that's like another type of psychism, and that's like being able to operate in all three of the dimensions of time and space at one time that humans have any contact with, which is an amazing thing. And I'm not saying he could or couldn't do that. I'm not making any comments about him. But most people are still human to do this and still amaze us at times. So did he do it on you,
yeah,
Mike?
He was just a regular guy from Michigan. It was really unusual. And he was very humble about it, but I just all this time I never, really knew exactly what to even think of this whole process.
Did he do it with you?
He did it to like a dozen people, but he did it from a very humble perspective. I almost got the feeling that it was some type of, I wouldn't call it an injury, but maybe some type of spiritual experience that he didn't elaborate too much, that it was something that happened to him spiritually. like that with Sutton.
Yeah, you know, it's. I wrote this in a textbook I wrote some time ago, that actually most psychics have some unique experience or sometimes injury to their senses, and it can even be from a prior lifetime, but it's not uncommon. That would not be an uncommon thing. Yeah. Well, listen, Mike,
But that is very interesting, the fact that you said that we can actually, because one of the things I'm just thinking of is the senses and how obviously, because I look to you, listen to your radio program all the time, the physical senses, and then moving the physical senses to the astral senses and the mental senses.
And if you can do that, you can be an amazing psychic.
How is it, you know, that you can elaborate just a tiny bit on that?
Yeah, if a person is able to be extrasensory capable in not only etheric energy, but also in astral and in mental, they can do some pretty amazing things in terms of being able to predict even outcomes in the future, because your perspective of time changes and you're able to see things more clearly about what may occur. Also, you can read people's minds and you can read what they feel in their emotions while you may be sensing some elements of their senses in their own physical body. So you're picking up what they're picking up while they're physically alive, you're experiencing some of that directly. Then you're picking up how they feel about it in their astral body, and then you're picking up their thoughts about it in their mental body, if you could do all of that. That would be an amazingly well-gifted, we'll say, psychic, someone who would have a very high level of accuracy, and someone who would be capable of probably being helpful in some circumstances, unique circumstances, maybe in criminal investigations, even in other things, so, and also health issues, they would be able to pick up things that the person may not be aware of themselves. Not just the parlor trick of telling someone what they thought, but maybe also helping them to discover things that they were unaware of in themselves, because there's so much information that goes through our senses, Mike, that we are unaware of. And that if someone else outside of us processes, might come to an even higher level of understanding about
it. I see.
Did that
help you? I appreciate your comments, definitely.
Okay, well, listen, keep listening. And thanks for calling in.
Have a great night.
Okay, bye-bye. You too. All right, so we're going to continue on. Let me tell you all about what happens to some people. Now, this luckily only happens under relatively rare circumstances. I mean, before I go any further, I want to preface what I'm going to say by telling you how many I think there are approximately of ghosts in the world. There are about 3,000 or so at any one time. Now, you're going to just have to trust me on this. I think that I'm right about it, but you could say, well, I was watching this program on television. They have a town where there's a ghost, a new ghost every week. So there must be more than 3,000. Well, you know, to keep the show on television, they have to keep having more ghosts. So, but it doesn't mean there are that many. Now, see, the reason I'm saying that is because of my own direct experiences in this area. And the chances of coming across a ghost are relatively slim in comparison to other issues. Now, I'm going to define a ghost differently than just someone having an out-of-body experience, even if they recently died. A ghost is someone who not only has recently died and is living in their electromagnetic body, they're not only living in that condition, but they are living in that condition for a prolonged period of time. How long? Well, I'm going to define it by the basis of how much sense they lose in staying in the electromagnetic part of their body only for too long of a period of time. When someone has lost more than 40% of their sense, they only have 60% less, and it falls below that level, more than 40%, they start becoming a ghost. Now, why? What does that mean? I'm going to define it for you. It means that at that time, they start losing continuity of who they are. Their memory starts getting very bad. They may have memory of some things, but other things completely gone. And they are almost compulsive about hanging around some location usually. And part of that reason is that they actually forget completely who they are, and they also forget, in a way, how to live elsewhere from wherever they used to be. Now, how does this occur? Because the person wants to stay too long in this world after the death. Now, that can be because maybe they were killed. Maybe they were murdered. That would be a really serious thing. But maybe they were killed in a serious accident and they didn't expect that. In more cases than not, it could be a traumatic death, in which case they were killed by someone who wanted them dead. They were murdered. And under the worst circumstances, they were murdered and they may have had some emotional problems before they were murdered. And then in addition to that, maybe they had drug problems and all these things contribute. And then they are left in a situation where their body is not even confined and buried in some way so that the electromagnetic energy of their living body can still try to come in contact with their somewhat decomposing, obviously, physical body. This can produce a person who literally is trying to relive or reincarnate into their bodies, become part of their bodies, the physical body. And every time they try to do this, they lose more and more sense. It could become a compulsive behavior. And that's a very serious issue. Before we had metal coffins, by the way, or anything that, like that, metal tends to block electromagnetic energies if it completely surrounds us. Before we did, and people were traditionally buried more in wood, graveyards could be filled with ghosts. And you might say, oh, you're just saying that because of ghost stories. No. There's a real reason for that. Because a ghost under that basis, or a person under that basis who dies, may still want to get next to their physical body thinking that they can gain some sense. They can still use their physical body. And the more they try to do that, they actually might get some sensation from it. But the more they try to do that, the more they become senseless as an etheric person. And actually damages their etheric senses more to attempt to do that. Oh, I think we have another caller. Let's see who that is. Hello.
Michael again, just a different Michael.
Oh, a different Michael. Well, hi, different Michael. How are you doing?
Okay. I think you're saying very good things.
Oh, I'm glad.
Okay, I'm a crown chakra psychic. And
what?
I'm a crown chakra psychic, and that actually means, and I have a golden aura, which means it's totally connected with the earth, and that's like a total compassion for all the earth. But on the other hand,
yes.
It's not like you can know everything or see everything or anything like that, because you can move up to the place of divine quietude without going through any of that. But on the other hand, then you don't see all the middle dimensions.
Okay, what do you do with this psychic ability that you have, Mike?
Usually I use my powers to help people get rid of a backache, a migraine, headache, or I'll pull out my pendulum and say, hey, just ask the questions. Don't tell me what they are, and my opinion will give you the answers. And I won't know what the questions are, and so you'll know I'm not lying, I'm not distorting the picture, and it usually works pretty well. And I'm actually pretty totally confused because of the fact you can't even explain what I do, because, for instance, I could reach out to you, and I could say you have tensions at the middle, at like the second chakra, because the backbone is blocked.
Yeah.
And I could release the tensions, and basically this just doesn't accord with the understanding of the world.
How long have you had this ability, Mike?
I don't know. I think I might have had it ever since I was a little kid, but I was brought up with a scientific background. And I learned how to shut off my conscious thoughts when I was 18. At 19, the Kundalini serpent ascended. And I then became an expert researcher on all sorts of things. And I found out about all the conspiracy shit that's going on. Found out it was absolutely true. And then I investigated. And then I saw Reiki and I said, well, maybe that's what's happening with my hands. I can feel people's energy with my hands. And so I started healing people so I could get rid of people's migraine headaches and make it where they never came back. Various things happened.
Mike, I'm going to have to cut you off right now because we're about to go to break. But I'm glad you gave us a call and told us about your abilities. And,
the whole thing about it is that understand, just because you get all these psi abilities does not mean you have either an ability to communicate with the world or that you really have all the abilities in between.
Oh, I know that, and I think I'm glad that you're letting the listeners know about it as well.
You have a wonderful night.
Listening.
You're doing an excellent job, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, and you take care now. Okay, so we're going to be going to break in about another minute or so. I just wanted to let you know that when we come back from break, I'll explain more about how ghosts and some other phenomena, if we have time to get to that tonight, exist, and what we can do about that, how we can even be helpful in terms of people who might be trapped in this state of being a ghost. But beyond that, some other elements for people to consider, since we're all going to be facing our own death someday, and, of course, I would like no one to become trapped in a ghost state. And I would like also everyone to consider the fact that this is not that foreign of a subject, really. It's actually something that we're all going to be in some way involved with at some time in our life. Okay, so we will be back from our next break, which should be about 2.5 to 3 minutes. And then I will continue on telling you what I know about ghosts and all of the areas of phenomena that are associated with them.
What book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's Freedom of Movement by Alternative Health Approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of Movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
Well, we're back, and this is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. tonight's show is we're talking about ghosts and phenomena associated around ghosts and other electromagnetic energies. It's a very interesting subject. We are all going to experience at least part of this phenomena at some point because we're all going to die. And the experience of death is that you leave your physical body through becoming in full consciousness within your etheric body. I wanted to mention that children below the age of 7 particularly can do this pretty well because their etheric and physical bodies are not as well connected together yet. And they can have a great many out-of-body etheric experiences. They can also have etheric extrasensory experiences as well. So that's just an amazing part of all of us. But most of us tend to forget these experiences. The majority of us tend to forget, but there's still a sizable minority that still remembers. So there you go. All right, so what else can I say about ghosts? Well, ghosts can stay, this is going to sound phenomenal now, in etheric form for a very long time, over 100 years of our time. It is possible for a ghost to stay. The longer it stays, the more memory it loses. It's sort of like having etheric Alzheimer's. And they don't know who they are after a while. They will not know how to leave the area that they're in. They won't be able to even comprehend much of what's going on with them. And they will repetitively do certain activities. This is normal for someone who is a ghost for any appreciable amount of time, like more than a year or two. And this is a terrible condition because they are literally not going on to live their life in the astral dimension of time and space, which is the next place that we all are going to be living in. They aren't actually losing life there because when they do go over to the other side, they will continue on and live the normal number of years they would have there. But it's important to understand that the experience of being a ghost still stays with them. And it takes an emotional toll on them. And so when they get over to the other side, their life is adversely affected to a significant amount in becoming more spiritual and loving, which is part of the experience usually of getting to the astral world. No matter how selfish and miserable and turkey of a person has been here, when you get to the other side, they're usually a little better, if not a lot better. Depends on the person. Well, there's an interference with that developmental process if a person is a ghost. So for that reason, sometimes the soul gets involved and tries to get the solar angel, it's part of like part of the soul, think of it, the alter ego of our soul, tries to communicate with the person and get them over. If that doesn't work, sometimes even a member of the next kingdom, sometimes we refer to these as like masters or whatever, these great beings will even attempt to help a person who's become a ghost to get out and to become a part of living in the next dimension. Another problem with ghosts is that they're easily possessible by evil and dark people from the lower astral realms that exist there and still want to have some experience in this world, and usually the experience they want to have is something really terrible, nasty. And so they get these ghosts to actually do kind of terrible things. It's not that the ghost itself may be wanting to, but once they get possessed, because they've lost so much of their sense, they don't know who they are anymore, then it's easy to possess these people. Anyone who's dealt with people with advanced memory disorders and dementias know that people sometimes get possessed in that state. They become extremely agitated, argumentative, hostile. And why does that happen? Because once you lose so much of yourself, you can get possessed. It isn't actually the person anymore. It's the possessing entity or entities that are doing this. And, of course, unfortunately, many people in the medical community don't know that. And so they don't know exactly how to deal with it, at least in the correct way. This is important to understand, that ghosts can be malevolent. Not because necessarily, in most cases, they are in the first sense, malevolent, but over time, because they get possessed, they can be. And so they can be dangerous. Now, the danger that they impose is more about the space that they exist in, if you enter that space, because of a thing called the quantum constant anomaly, boy, this is a lot of words, big words, what happens is when a ghost stays in a lot for a lot of time around one space, because part of their body's atoms exists in electromagnetic form, and the other part of the body exists in a material form that is decaying and just being, it's going back to, it already went back to being part of a mineral group soul. It's not even part of being a human being anymore. There is a difference between in the atoms. The atoms are in two different places at the same time, and this causes a shift in something called the quantum constant. It affects the way thought changes matter and space, and it has a very strange effect on time. And so all of this together causes some serious adverse effects to the space that the ghost is in. It, the ghost itself is changing the space that it exists in, especially if it's a confined space, such as a building or a house or some place where... And that's where they tend to like to be around by them. And they actually get addicted to this shift in quantum constant because it makes it in some ways easier for them to live. But the weird thing is if we enter that space within hours or minutes for some, but usually hours for most, and some people it takes days, we become affected. And what happens is our senses start getting distorted and shifting towards the electromagnetic part of us, and we can actually perceive electromagnetic phenomena more easily when a ghost is present, to eventually to the point where we can even see the ghost and experience the ghost as if we're in the room with it. Doesn't happen for most people right away. It usually takes longer, but some people are more sensitive to this. And once that starts happening, if the ghost is possessed and malevolent, it'll have more of an effect on us because we're going to sense it more. Yeah. Another thing, poltergeists. Ghosts can start affecting physical objects to some extent because the electromagnetic parts of them become so activated due to a shift in the quantum constant. The electromagnetic part of them can actually influence the electromagnetic part of material objects if they're not too heavy and actually get them to move and to vibrate and do other things that normally could not happen. So if a ghost is in a place long enough, it can actually change the material objects that exist within that space, not just the electromagnetic parts of those objects, but the actual material objects. And the more the ghost tries to directly touch or handle these objects, the more the objects become sensitized because of the quantum constant shift to their movements, and the more the objects are actually going to be likely to move due to their presence. Now tell me that isn't strange. Okay, and so a lot of phenomena that we think that are dissociated from ghosts are really caused by the ghost's presence in the first place. And this can be a ghost that isn't even a human being. There are rare cases, but there are many of them where animals actually become ghosts, usually because they were somewhat mistreated and abused by human beings before their death, and they don't easily move on to the next world, and they can become possessed as well. An animal that is possessed can wreak havoc in its environment because as it stays around the same environment, again, it becomes a ghost, and then you can have anomalous problems. So, and animals, of course, can be used even more easily sometimes in human beings because they don't have as much consciousness to lose before they can be completely possessed. This is an interesting subject, of course, and it explains a lot of phenomena, a lot of things that go on. Now, I'm going to kind of shift gears and tell you that there are some phenomena that are electromagnetic that do not involve ghosts of any sort, people ghosts or animal ghosts or anything, because there are many parts of our world that at times have shifts between, in phase variances, between the electromagnetic or etheric part of our world and the physical part. When these shifts occur, sometimes due to high contents of electricity or other types of electromagnetic fields, when they occur, they can lead to very strange effects on human beings. Some of these effects include confusion, oversensitivity of certain senses over others, so that we have an imbalance in our senses and get a distorted viewpoint, just like as if you were maybe on drugs or something like that, of our environment, because our senses are being distorted by the electromagnetic changes in field, especially if the electromagnetic changes in field are distorted in a phase relationship to us as well as a change in frequency. And this is the problem. We don't have ways of measuring this very easily, so some places have these problems, these inherent anomalies, where we can enter into them, and unfortunately, it will distort our senses and create in us false impressions and an inability to maybe even think clearly. This all happens because in the world around us, it's a natural phenomenon in some places to have etheric energy distorted due to fields in the earth and fields in various materials such as quartz. But even more so, because today, in the last 150 years, this is particularly true, electricity has become part of our world. We make it and we use it. And of course, in the last 100 years, we've used it tremendously. And electricity produces all kinds of electromagnetic fields. The electricity itself can distort the fields in some circumstances and produce some very odd effects. Besides electricity, also light is an electromagnetic energy. You may not know that, but light is. And different forms of light, different ways that light may go through objects or be reflected, can cause shifts in the electromagnetic field, which at times, if it causes a shift not only in cycles but in phase, can cause some very significant changes in how we experience our surrounding. Some people that claim that they've experienced things like spaceships, as an example, alien spaceships, in some cases they may have just had a severe shift in electromagnetic field. And it could be a group of people that would experience a similar thing. I'm not saying everyone who has experienced some unusual etheric object or some unusual object is all caused by this effect. But there are enough times that this has happened that people may be fooled into thinking it's something that it's not. Also, there's a form of lightning called ball lightning, which is a lightning that moves around in a ball, literally, and can fly from one place to another and is affected by thought because it is phase-shifted and therefore is like living energy instead of unliving or non-living energy like lightning normally is, and is greatly affected by people's thoughts and somewhat feelings, and the result is that it does some weird stuff. And this you can probably find this on the internet, ball lightning. And ball lightning has been known to follow people around. Yeah, and sometimes it's been known to be, there's a few people that have been able to use it as like a weapon or as a means of, we'll say, attacking others, et cetera. Because it's affected by a phase shift and therefore is affected much more by human etheric form and by our own thoughts, therefore. Amazing stuff, just amazing stuff. There's so much more to tell you about this subject, but unfortunately, you know what? We are quickly running out of time. And I wanted to mention to you that if you have time on Sunday, and I hope you do, and if you're if you're in Pacific time from 1 to 2 p.m., you can listen to me talking about the physics of metaphysics on the following, this is an internet station, WDISAM.com, or if you're in the Northeast, anywhere in the Northeast, you can pick up this radio station. It's 1170 AM. Of course, it's going to be 3 hours later then. It'll be from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, and you'll be able to hear the show directly over the air. And I would invite you to do so because it's a great show. The Physics of Metaphysics is what we're going to be talking about. Also, if anyone in the Phoenix area can come on November 19th, Monday, this coming Monday. From 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m., I and another member of a spiritual group I'm a member of are going to be talking about spiritual sexuality. And let me see what else I'm going to be talking about. And every third Monday at Borders in Mesa, I'll be there, or someone from our group here will be there. And it's a very interesting talk. If you have time and you're going to be in the Phoenix metropolitan area, come by. It's in Mesa. It's across from Mesa Fiesta Borders. So please do come by, because when people come, I get to see them. I get to, you know, it's great hearing your voice if you call in or whatever, but it's even better if we can meet in person if you're in the Phoenix area. So in the meantime, I want to finish today's show by letting you know, I'll kind of sum it up, that basically there's a whole part of our world, the physical world that we live in, that is electromagnetic energies. And these electromagnetic energies are divided into two basic parts. The part that doesn't support life and that transmits radio waves and X-rays and you name it. It's all out there, including light. And then there's a part that human beings can live in, and part of us exists in all the time while we're physically alive, and that animals and other and plants, anything that's alive, exists within. And that is at a different phase. And because of that, we have almost all the phenomena and all the changes that many people think are so fascinating and unusual, which includes ghosts. Well, until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.